to John chapter 6, verses 16 to 21. If you don't have your Bible with you, the word should be behind me as well. When evening came, his disciples, that's Jesus' disciples, went down to the sea, got into a boat, and started across the sea to Capernaum. It was now dark, and Jesus had not yet come to them. The sea became rough because a strong wind was blowing. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and coming near the boat, and they were frightened. But he said to them, "It is I. Do not be afraid." Then they were glad to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at the land to which they were going. Let's pray this morning. God, we thank you for this account in Scripture. We ask that you would come personally and speak to us this morning. Lord, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I got a question to start out our morning with this morning. This, what is life in this world like? How would you describe, if you had to use some words to describe what it's like living life in this world today, what would you use? And this, we're gonna allow some audience participation today. So describe whether they're words that describe good things or the not so good things in life. How would you describe life in this world?
Busy.
Yeah, it is. It's busy, isn't it? How else? Stressful. Yes, I think many of us can relate to busy and stressful. What else? Joyful. Did I hear joyful? Yes. All right, so we got joyful on one side. We got busy and stressful maybe on another side. What else we got? Come on, I know you're out there.
Convenient.
Convenient? Why is it convenient?
The internet.
Okay, quick access to stuff. Yep, all right. Convenient, quick access to stuff. Yep. Inconsistent. Isn't that true? Why inconsistent, Matt? Isn't that true? Some days it's easy, some days it's ridiculously hard. Yes?
Blessed.
Absolutely. Blessed. What? Frightful. So isn't it interesting what we've got going on here as I ask you these questions? We have things that are extremely joyful, right? Blessed, joyful, happy, all the good times. And then on the other side, we've heard words like frightening and stressful, difficult. And here's what I think. 2014 has brought its share of both of those things to our church. 2014 has brought the highest of joys to members of our church. Maybe you had a baby born in 2014. And it's just an awesome, awesome experience in your life. Maybe you got married in 2014. Maybe you got the job you've been dreaming for in 2014. And 2014 is remembered for some tremendous highs for you. Maybe 2014 brought some tremendously frightening, ridiculously difficult, hard times for you. 2014 brought highs and brought lows. It brought real life. And so as we sit here on the brink of 2015, and I don't think it would be a stretch, and I'm not even trying to speak prophetically, to look into 2015 and say, for our church, for the members of our church, for those visiting here today, for the guests, whoever you are, that 2015 might bring some ridiculously high highs, and it might bring, or it might bring, some incredibly difficult times. What I want to do today is to let this passage that we read this morning speak to us about two things. One is what life can be like. What life can be like. What difficulties can approach us in life. And then secondly, what Jesus is like. Because we already know a bit about what life can be like. What we need to know is what Jesus is like. so that as we walk through the highs and the lows of life, we can know our Lord and Savior better. So this morning, let's look at first what life can be like. Here are the circumstances in this passage. When evening came, Jesus' disciples, this is right after he fed the 5,000. They've seen a glorious miracle, which was right after him healing the sick. So they've seen two amazingly wonderful things. His disciples got into a boat and they went down. When evening came, his disciples went down to the sea. They got into a boat and started across the sea, which is probably about 6 miles wide from one side of the Sea of Galilee to the other side. The sea became rough because a strong wind was blowing, and when they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles. So what's going on in the situation? What's going on in life circumstances for these disciples? They have just experienced the highest of highs, and now what is going on is it's dark. It's dark in the boat that they're in. They can't see. They can no longer see the shore that they've come from. They can't see the shore to where they're going. When it's dark on the sea at night, I imagine it's awfully scary and it's discouraging, and they're facing an unknown outcome. They can't see where they're going. They can't see where they've been. They don't know what the results are going to be, compounded by the fact that the sea became rough because strong winds were blowing. And so here are these waves that are crashing upon them. A Galilean fishing boat would have been maybe 20 feet long, and it would have had a couple sets of oars on each side. It would have had a small square or rectangular sail. Imagine being in that kind of boat with maybe 12 people, and the winds were high and the sea was rough. It was pressing against them, which means that it was dangerous at the moment. So it's dark and it's dangerous. It also means that all of their efforts were being thwarted. The things that normally made them propel across the sea were not working. They were rowing as hard as possible, and nothing was happening. The sail that was there to be a help to them, to help the wind catch the sail and push them across the sea, was no longer a help to them. It was actually a danger to them because the winds were so strong pushing against the sail, it could have easily flipped the boat over. No matter how hard they put their efforts to work, nothing was happening. Not only that, they had been going for a while. This had been going. They went when it was evening. Now it's dark. They have been going about 3 or 4 miles, this passage tells us, of probably a 5 or 6 mile trip. So they're halfway. They're maybe more than halfway there. It's too far to turn around. They can't say, this stinks. This situation we're in the midst of is bad. Let's bail out of it. Let's just go back. It's too far to go back. And yet, they don't know how far it is to land either. Their cries of, I just want this to be over, would be unheard. The other thing I think they would have been experiencing in that, at that moment, is though they had a general awareness of God, don't forget, these are Jesus' disciples. They knew the God of the Old Testament. They also knew Jesus. They had walked very closely with him for a while now. They had seen him do miracle after miracle. So they had an awareness of God, an awareness of Jesus. But right now, in that moment, he was nowhere to be found. It says in that passage, Jesus had not come to them yet. They were alone in the boat, or so they felt. They knew what it was like to walk closely with Jesus, but at this moment, they weren't experiencing it. He seems very far away. Have you found in your life that life can be like what we're talking about? It can be dark. The darkness that brings fear. We heard frightening is one of the descriptions this morning. When life presses in and when things aren't going well, life can become very dark. Maybe you're in the midst of a circumstance that's been tough. It's been difficult, and you've been putting all your effort into it, trying to change it, trying to make it different, like the disciples rowing as hard as they can, mile after mile. Maybe you've been using all the strength and the energy that you have, and you just look at it and say, it's not making any progress. It's too far. I've gone too far to give up. And yet the end seems too far to press on. I'm kind of stuck here in the middle. Things that usually work for me, they're not working right now. Scriptures that normally speak to me aren't speaking to me right now. Times of worship that have once been joyful and exciting don't seem so anymore. Maybe Jesus seems far away. Maybe you've walked with him and you've experienced him. But right now, if you're honest, right here in your life, it would feel like you would be experiencing the reality that it seems that Jesus is very far away. Maybe you're in the midst of a time like that right now. Not all of you are, but maybe you are. And maybe you can relate to how the disciples would have felt that day. Or maybe 2015 is going to bring a time like that. I want us to know some things about Jesus in this account, not just so that we can see how did Jesus respond to the disciples, but more importantly, to show us what Jesus is like in our struggles as well, so that when we move into 2015 in just a few short days, we can do so with utter confidence about what Christ is like as we go through dark times as well. So let's look secondly at what Jesus is like. Verse 19 says, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and coming near the boat, and they were frightened. But he said to them, it is I, do not be afraid. Then they were glad to take him into the boat. And immediately the boat was at the land to which they were going. Let me give you just three quick things about Jesus that you need to know, that I need to know, that we need to know as we press into the year 2015. Number one is this: Jesus meets us in our circumstances. Jesus meets us in our circumstances. Here they were in the middle of the lake. They were afraid of drowning. The winds, the waves, the whole deal was going on. Before they call out to him, before they ask him to come, before their situation improves at all, what do they see? They see Jesus walking out to them on the water. Such a picture of Jesus. He doesn't wait for your situation to improve. He doesn't wait for you to get cleaned up. He doesn't wait for you to have all your issues put aside. He doesn't wait for your marriage to get better. He doesn't wait for your kid that you're praying for to come back to Christ. He doesn't wait for your drugs or your alcohol problem to be completely put away. He doesn't wait for your financial situation to be improved. He doesn't wait for you to get the new job. He doesn't stand on the other side of the seashore and say, well, come on, once you make it over here, we're going to have some great fellowship. Jesus walks out on the water and he meets the disciples right where they are, right in the midst of their need, right in the midst of their fear. He goes out to them. We need to know that. We need to know that despite any circumstance we're in, Jesus comes out to meet us in our circumstances. Secondly, we need to know that Jesus calms our fears with his presence. Calms our fears with his presence. This passage tells us the disciples, the experienced fishermen and boatsmen, were frightened. They knew the situation they were in was dangerous. This was no kidding around. And Jesus walks out. He comes to them. And one of the things he says is, do not be afraid. You ever had someone in the midst of your darkest time of life, when it just looks like fear is all around and life could crumble in a minute, and quote you a verse about have no fear? The response in our heart can be the same as maybe the response in the disciples' heart. What do you mean have no fear? The ship is going down. We're about to die. What do you mean have no fear? How can Jesus say,
Have no fear. Well, look at the couple words he says before he says, do not be afraid. He says, it is I. It is I. Those little words, if you were able to see the Greek behind those words, it's two words that were on our youth camp shirts a couple years ago. Ego, a me. Those words are translated throughout Scripture in various ways because it's not the easiest translation, but those words are I am. It's the same words that Jesus spoke when he said, I am the bread of life. Whoever's hungry, come to me. It's the same words Jesus spoke when he said, I am the light of the world. Same words Jesus spoke when he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Those words mean, I am, or maybe, better translated, I am here. I am present. I am who I am, and I'm here. So his words, do not be afraid, can't be disconnected from what he says right before that. I am present, I am here, therefore do not be afraid. That's why Jesus can look at his disciples in the eyes and speak right into their heart and say, do not be afraid because I'm here. And that's what Jesus wants to speak to you in the midst of your most difficult life situations is he comes out and meets you where you are. And when he comes out and meets you where you are, he says, do not be afraid because I'm here. I'm with you. I'm in the midst of this with you. Don't be afraid because I'm here. I'm present. It's the only words Jesus is recorded to have spoken in this section we read. Don't be afraid because I'm here. Thirdly, lastly, Jesus rescues us. Jesus rescues us. It is so good to have friends who will go through your most difficult situations with you. Sympathetic friends are awesome. It's so good to have a friend just sit with you and be with you at your life's darkest moments. And say, I'm here as long as you need me. If you're going down, I'm going down with you. It's a great friend. It's a great friend. Jesus is that kind of friend in that he meets us where we are. He says, don't be afraid, I'm with you. But that's not all he does either. He didn't just grab their hands and say, well, when this boat goes down, I'm going down with you. He does something about their situation. And we need to know that about Jesus as well. Though our situations sometimes linger much longer than we would like, he's the kind of friend who gets into the boat with us, but he rescues us. First, he rescues us unto salvation. He rescues us from sin and death and hell forever. And he also pulls us out of our darkness. He pulls us out of our difficulties. He pulls us out of our trials. Remember, this is the same Jesus that walked out on the water, showing his sovereignty over creation. This is the Jesus that it says when, as soon as he got into the boat, they were immediately at land. He just took this speedboat trip to land. Jesus didn't just act sympathetically towards them. He stepped into the boat and he did something about their situation. Jesus meets us where we are. He calms our fears with his presence and he rescues us. In his power, he rescues us. The application for us this morning and as we move into 2015 is what the disciples did in verse 21. They were glad to take him into the boat. They were glad to take him into the boat. They were glad. They recognized who he was. And they said, Jesus, yes. Come in. come in, have your way. So no matter what 2015 brings you, the highest of joys or the lowest of sorrows, my exhortation for us as a church is to walk into 2015 and no matter what we go through, to take Jesus into the boat, to take him into our lives, to resist the temptation, either in our joys to kind of think, well, we kind of got it, we don't really need him, or in our sorrows to be discouraged to the point where we're pushing him away, to instead by faith and through prayer to say, Jesus, come into this situation. I need you. Sit right next to me. Sit in this boat. Would you rescue me? Would you be near to me? Would you speak your words that calm my fears? So let's let 2015 be a year at Providence Church where we consistently and regularly receive Jesus into the boat of our lives and help each other. Help each other to receive Christ into our life circumstances as we go. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We worship you for who you are. Thank you that you're a Savior who comes to us in the midst of our circumstances. Thank you for not waiting for us to get our lives right before you come to us. Thank you for quieting our fears with your presence. Thank you for your rescuing work, Lord. We love you and we turn to sing to you right now. We worship you for who you are as recorded in this passage. And we worship you for who you are as recorded in the entirety of the Bible. We thank you for your faithfulness in our lives in 2014 and 13 and well into the past. Lord, you have shown yourself faithful time and time again. And Lord, as we approach a new year, we know that you will be faithful again. And so we put our trust in you. We put our hope in you. We put our confidence in you. And we say, Lord, come into the boat of our lives. Be with us in every circumstance and situation we find ourselves in. To you be the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.